We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
There's other things that we could have done to help him in the beginning. We still have to be more offensive with runners in position. With all the double plays that we're hitting into, there's all this different stuff going on. We have to do better overall. We made mistakes on defense, and then we made a couple great plays. So I just can't lay it on him. We need to do better. We're getting guys out there. We've been talking about. We got to score some runs. You got to win a game 6-5 once in a while too, and then the onus goes away. So we got to get better at that.
Middays on the Score.
Not the happiest we've ever heard Joe Maddon, and it's understandable as to why. Top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. Jed Hoyer joins us in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from, and he is presented by the Magellan Corporation. Jed Hoyer, how are you?
How you guys doing this morning?
Okay, and it looks like your team is kind of needs some tightening up, to put it that way. It's all a little loose right now. The situational hitting, the base running, the fielding, executing some pitches. What's the way to get the whole operation just tightened up a bit?
I mean, that's the question, and I agree with you. I think that's actually a fairly good way to put it. I know I've said this on this show a bunch of times. Like, you know, to me, you know, when we're at our best, you know, certainly how we were at the end of 15, how we were in 16, how we were in the second half of 17, I feel like when we're at our best, we're tough to beat. And so, you know, it's baseball, you know, winning 2 out of 3 in a series is a good thing. But you felt like the nights you lost when you went home, you felt like the other team beat you. They showed up, they got the big hits. It didn't feel like we beat ourselves. It felt like they beat us. And I think that's, you know, that's sort of an important distinction, you know, because you're going to lose in baseball. You're going to go home disappointed. You know that. But you don't want to go home disappointed because you let opportunities get away. And like the last two nights, for example, it feels like we let opportunities to win games get away. We were kind of sloppy. It felt that way. Like, you know, the Friday game we lost against the Mets, for example, this felt like a game we let get away. And that's what's frustrating. So I think that's the tightening up you're talking about. We've got to make fewer outs on the bases. We've got to catch the ball better, take care of the ball better, not give up as many free runs. And then obviously we need to get some big hits. So in general, tightening is a good word. And I think that's where the frustration comes from, is that we haven't been very good at that the last 4 or 5 weeks.
So the defensive stuff is kind of easy to understand, the feeling that you guys might have with a need for tightening up. The offensive stuff matters too, though, I think, as you mentioned. How do you guys square the team's overall ground ball rate and its, you know, pretty good on-base percentage and pretty good home run rate? Where do those all three of those things kind of mix together?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing to figure in a lot of ways, right? Because, you know, we have hit a lot of homers. You know, we have 5 guys with 15 or more homers, and I think that, you know, we have driven the ball. I think we used the opposite field this year as well as any team. You know, I think we've done a really good job with that. But, you know, our situational hitting is still been a source of frustration, and this is, you know, sort of a broken record. Like, you know, what year is this? It seems like every year but 16, we struggle with guys in scoring position, and you know, it doesn't feel like we give our best at bats in those situations. And so that's just something we have to keep working at, keep getting better at. If I had a dollar for every hour I've spent, you know, thinking about, you know, our situational hitting, you know, it'd be, you know, I could help out the city a great deal. You know, it's just a frustrating thing about our team. We haven't excelled in those situations, and those are the situations that matter. You know, last night we couldn't get a hit the guy's scoring position. We ended up losing that game. You know, 1 or 2 hits in those spots, we win last night. So we've got to get better at that. We've got to keep working, and we will. And that's really the gist of it, is that there's no magic formula to get better at hitting with guys in scoring position. But we do need to do a better job as a team, or we're not going to get where we want to go.
When you spend all that time thinking about it, what are you thinking about and how?
I think it's a lot of thinking about different players' behaviors, I guess I would say, in those situations. You know, what are we doing differently? Obviously, we have a team that, on paper, if you take a really broad view of it, is a very good offensive team. You know, we have a lot of really good underlying numbers. Offensively, we've always been really good at getting on base, though I would say that it's been a frustrating month from an on-base standpoint, and we do need to get back to sort of our normal standard, which is usually the one or two in the National League as far as getting on base. But in general, I think we do a lot of positive things offensively, but I do think we change some behaviors when we have guys on base, whether it's certain guys might chase more in those spots, certain guys might get more pull conscious, you know, certain guys, you know, may get more passive. And I think that's something you're constantly looking at, is, you know, the best, you know, clutch hitters that I've seen are able to, you know, really tighten their focus and tighten their strike zone and really, force the pitcher, force the pitcher to work in those spots. And I think sometimes we don't do that. So I think we have to organize our strike zone, as Joe would say, in those situations, and make it so we're not changing our behavior in a negative way when you get guys in scoring position.
So the Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. Jed, if it is a case of you know, what year is it, and feeling like it's the same issues as you've had in the past, I know a lot of Cubs fans will ask the question, and I'll do the same. Is it time to start looking at players who do answer those questions a little bit differently? Is it, this offseason was one of import, and some really big things were said about your own evaluation of players. Are you guys at a point where you look at different solutions to some of the lineup spots?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, a valid question. I think that, I still would say, you know, that this is a group that's, you know, won more games than any team, really, you know, since we've been put together. So there's a lot of positives. There are some areas of frustration, like we just discussed. We haven't been very good in those situations. And, one thing that I do think that, we'll certainly look outside, for answers. I think that whether we find those answers is a question. I think that, the trade market can be tough, and we're not going to make change for change's sake. But, this is an offense that probably doesn't have quite the depth that it has. I think that, obviously we would certainly miss Zoe's presence, his quality at bats and his on-base skills. And, I think we wouldn't be doing our job to not do our due diligence, to not think about those things externally, whether they happen or not. I'm not sure. And that said, I don't think that's I don't think that says that we don't have confidence in our guys. I think it says that, that's our job, is to think about everything we can. And if an external move makes sense to jumpstart the offense, maybe we'll do that.
Are you optimistic that Zobrist will return?
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way I have. We certainly hope he does. That's ultimately on him, but we are hopeful. And, I think that in a lot of ways, some of the struggles we've had, I think you can, it helps you appreciate, the mature at bat he brings to the lineup. He does get on base, he grinds at bats, he studies pitchers. And, I think we certainly miss that. There's no doubt. But the most important thing at this point is that he and his family are in a good place. And like I said, we're hopeful that he can, work through all those issues. And obviously we'd love to have him back.
Jed, I want to get an update on the rotation. Tommy Hotovy was on the station just a day or two ago looking at ways to get days, an extra day or two for guys in that rotation. Kyle Hendricks has, according to our own Bruce Levine, thrown a 30-pitch side yesterday. Another coming up Saturday, it sounds like. Is there a timetable for Kyle yet, and how do you guys feel about spacing the rotation out for a day or two for a member of that rotation?
Yeah, there's no perfect timetable yet. But, yeah, his bullpen went well. He has another one scheduled. And I think after that, we'll have a better sense of what it looks like. I think that, he's likely to need a rehab start So I don't think that his return to the rotation is not imminent just because he's thrown some bullpens. I think we want to make sure that we treat him right and you know, take a long view. I think we've tried to do that, you know, with the rotation over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, next week we have the off day Friday, which is odd. And then we have the 2-game series against the White Sox. Then we have the All-Star break. And like with every team, but certainly ours this year, I think it'll be welcome for us. You know, we get the full 4-day off All-Star break this year. And we're trying to give the guys a little bit of a breather, you know, heading into the All-Star break. And then hopefully with the All-Star break, we can come out with a refreshed rotation. And hopefully Kyle is back and ready at that point.
How's CJ Edwards?
He's doing well. He also threw a bullpen yesterday. And he's doing well. And it's similar to Kyle. I don't think we're ready to make any announcements on him. But, you know, we're certainly hopeful that, you know, sometime around the All-Star break, whether before or after, he should be back if things keep progressing. And then, you know, certainly, you know, our goal, you know, obviously we're adding Kimbrel today. You know, hopefully we can get CJ back soon. And, you know, I think we can turn the bullpen into real strength if guys are hitting on all cylinders. And that's obviously that was the goal.
Is there an integration plan for Kimbrel, or is he just full go anywhere Jed wants to, or anywhere Joe wants to throw him in there, you're able to do it? Or I guess if you wanted to throw him in there too, you could be doing it.
You know, that's a really good question, and I think that's you know, the conversation we'll have with Craig. You know, he certainly he threw a back-to-back last week. I think he's certainly ready to go. But you know, I think at the same time, you know, there probably is a little bit of a continued ramp up with him. And it's also difficult, you know, and this will be part of the conversation that, you know, a guy like him has been closing the big leagues for a long time. I think we all know that closers are, you know, kind of driven by adrenaline. You're not going to get their best stuff, their best focus, in a non-safe situation. So that's something we'll be aware of also as we think about, you know, how to kind of ramp him up and integrate him with the team.
What does Robel Garcia have to do to get his shot with the big club?
I mean, he's been you know, really, really good this year, and a great, you know, great story and a great job by our pro scouting department finding him. You know, there's no question, and we're watching carefully, and you know, hopefully he continues to play well and hit well, and I guess that's probably the, you know, what I would say is that, you know, we're certainly paying attention, and you know, we love what he's doing, and he's been a great teammate. So hopefully this continues.
And Carlos Gonzalez is in the starting lineup today as they're loading up with lefties here in getaway day. How much longer do you give this? Obviously, this was a low-risk flyer on a proven veteran to see it. The phrase that Theo used was see if he can get on one of his epic tears.
Yeah.
And hasn't yet. And at some point, you got to decide that it isn't going to happen. How long do you give this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid question. He's one of the streakiest guys in the game. Yeah, as Theo alluded to, when he gets on one of his runs, he can carry an offense. And you know, obviously, he's not, you know, in his 20s anymore. He's not, you know, kind of where he was with the Rockies. But you know, certainly, you know, we do believe there's a lot more good baseball in there. But yeah, I mean, I think that we have, you know, we kind of talked about the offense earlier and talked about, you know, how do we sort of get on a run? And I think that, you know, one of the things is, you know, we haven't sort of gotten the same production off our bench or out of all of our guys that we're used to. We have some guys struggling, you know, on the bench. Cargo is one of them, and that's something we have to look at. But I mean, he's an awesome teammate. He's been great in the clubhouse with our guys. He's working hard with Anthony Iposi. I mean, so he's doing all the right things, but it hasn't clicked yet, and you know, we're hopeful that it will.
Jose Quintana's last little stretch has been, he's been hit around a little bit, if we're being honest. I wonder how much you guys look at pitch mix and some of the velocities dipping a little bit over his last few. Is a pitch mix issue going on with Quintana right now, or is it something different?
Yeah, you know, we actually had a meeting yesterday to go over a lot of our pitching stuff, the whole staff, and that was something we talked about. You know, as you can see, we gave him a little extra rest this time through, You know, we thought he'd been sort of grinding and going through, you know, taking his turn every time as he always does. And we thought, you know, maybe giving him a couple extra days off might be helpful. There's some mechanical things that, he and Tommy Hottovy are working on. He has been grinding. You know, he was really good early and he's had a dip here. Probably got into a couple bad habits that you don't realize. And I think one of the things with baseball in 2019 is that you're able to pinpoint those things a little bit earlier, and hopefully you get ahead of them. And I think that we've done that. We've been kind of working with Q on some of those issues, and hopefully he gets right back there. But he feels great physically. Certain things have probably led to, you know, not having probably the same finish on his fastball. And, you know, that's something he relies on so much. Like when he's at his best, you know, he just beats barrels with his fastball, oftentimes up in the zone. When he gets in some bad habits, which we've seen, a couple different small stretches over the last couple of years, when he gets in some bad habits, you know, he doesn't have quite that same finish. And that's when he can get hit around a bit. And that's kind of the lull we're in right now. But hopefully we're on top of it, and hopefully he can get right back out of it and get back to the way he was throwing early in the season.
You talk about baseball in 2019, and when we sat down, Jed, in spring training down in Mesa, we were talking about the cameras, and you said over the last 2 years the game has changed immensely. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody involved with this show has just finished reading the book The MVP Machine by Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sawchuk. We wanted to make it a requirement for engaging in baseball discussion on this show, and we talked with Ben Lindbergh at length about it. I've got a much better understanding of what's going on. How much, when these things go on, when you start to think about solving problems and actually the granular solving of individual problems, how interested are you now in the imaging, in the data, in what you can actually do in real time with these new resources at your disposal within a season?
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I mean, I kind of alluded to that with Q, but you know, when a guy starts to struggle, and I would say this, you know, and not to put it on Q, every one of our starters is, you know, and we have a very good rotation and they're very accomplished guys. Every one of our guys has gone through this kind of lull at some point during the season. And we've ended up having very similar conversations, which are very different than we had 5 years ago. Whereas now we can really focus. You know, we have so many ways to, you know, whether it's the high speed cameras, whether it's other tools we have to focus on a pitcher's mechanics now that we never had before, we can really pinpoint exactly what a guy is doing differently. We can go back to stretches where they were really successful, and we have the ability to point these things out. And we never had that before, and I really think that it does allow us and other teams to get guys out of ruts quicker because you can get back to it. Before, you would have been staring at video and trying to overlay video in a way that was just much less precise. And now you can do that, you know, in a much more surgical way. And I think that's, it's so valuable. So, you know, I wouldn't focus on Q. I'd focus on all of our guys. Every one of our guys, we've had that kind of meeting about that kind of conversation. And, it's really helpful. And one of the best parts of baseball in 2019 is you can now bring that stuff to that pitcher and they're super receptive. They dig into it. You know, almost every time when you bring them that kind of information, they end up taking it. They end up looking at stuff, and they start focusing on it. So there's no reluctance anymore to use technology. They encourage it, and I think they're excited by the fact that they think it can get them back on track quicker.
Jed, I'd hate myself if I didn't ask a question about Adbert Alzolay before we let you go. He's been so much fun to watch working into the bigs, and I've just kind of assumed, given his pitch counts, that he's going to have to be into the bullpen to stay with the big league club for a while. Is that the right assumption? Am I just being an idiot? Is it valuable maybe to have him get a couple more starts in AAA before this season ends? Where is the thinking on what's most important for him?
Yeah, and it's a conversation that we've been having ourselves, and you know, trying to figure out the exact way to use his innings and use his pitches the rest of the year. We're really excited about how he's thrown. He did a great job at Iowa. I think he's really, you know, comported himself well in the two outings, I guess he's had, you know, here, you know, the first one against the Mets out of the bullpen, and then, you know, and then against the Braves on Tuesday night. I think he's thrown really well. and we're excited about it. But we also know, you know, we don't have a rotation spot up here that's open, and we also know that we're going to need him later in the year. So I don't know what that looks like. Mix of starts, maybe mix of bullpen. I don't think we know yet, but it's certainly a conversation we're having, and I'm just excited to be having that conversation because it means he's opened everyone's eyes. It means he's forced his way into that conversation, and that's what we always talk about. Just, you know, his performance and in the way he's acted in the big leagues has sort of forced that conversation, and that's a great thing.
Jed, last question I have before we let you go. I want to go back and revisit some of the watchwords that were laid down by you and Theo and the top of the organization before this season about playing with urgency, about making sure that these games aren't given away, and importantly, the accountability for players for their performance and their production beyond who they are, where they were drafted, what they've won, what their pedigree might be. How should that inform the way I look at this team going forward this year and your approach to the deadline?
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's obvious, you know, just sort of based on our words and, you know, based on the fact that we, you know, went out inside Craig Kimbrel, for example. I think that, you know, the urgency of Theo and of me and of ownership, I think it is fairly clear, you know, and I think that we have that urgency in the clubhouse as well. You know, the nature of baseball can be frustrating. You know, we had a poor stretch to start the season. We had a really remarkable stretch for a number of weeks where we played really, really good baseball. And then we've had this period now, 4 or 5 weeks, where we haven't. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, maybe, you know, we're always looking for answers within that, but sometimes that's the nature of the game. All that said, kind of going back to the beginning of this interview, we've got to play cleaner baseball. We've got to get back to winning series after series, and we have to do that. And there is urgency to do that. You know, we're not going to be impatient based on a middling month, and I think that would be misguided. But at the same time, you know, there is urgency to get back to playing the kind of clean baseball that we know we can play, and we've got to start winning series. We haven't done that. We just had a 10-game homestand and we didn't win a single series. You know, that's not what we're looking for. So there's urgency, but there's also an understanding that it's a long season, and we've already shown we can do it. We just need to get back there, and I think the answers are in that clubhouse, and hopefully we start turning it around, you know, hopefully today.
Jed, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it. That is Jed Hoyer.
That's Jed Hoyer,
the general manager of the Chicago Cubs. Brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday's country night. Saturday is bacon, beer, and bloodies. Need they say more? Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. All right, there's a lot there.
Tons.
There's a lot there that we are interested in your response, your reaction to what you heard from a clearly frustrated baseball executive right now.
A little bit. There's better baseball to play for this team. They believe it. The players believe it. Ownership believes it. They've put their chips down on that bet, and to not see it, especially when the rest of the division hasn't been so great, it's frustrating.
312-644-6767. What did you take from that? We want to know. We're Bernstein and
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tonight, you've got the score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz of the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. So the responses coming in fast and furiously via text. The 217, Theo and Jed don't have any answers. Maybe this Cubs team is overrated. I think the biggest takeaway was that Jed has confidence in this group. Right or wrong, this is the team. That's from the 317.
They continue to have confidence, and I think that even despite their struggles, especially with their struggles maybe even, they're the best team in the National League Central. It seems that way to me. You add Craig Kimbrel today, the Cardinals have lost their closer, the Brewers have struggles up and down their whole roster. I mean, this is they're the best team in the NL Central. Can you beat the Dodgers? That's another question altogether, and probably moves have to be made in order to get over that hump. This little bit of news, we asked Jed this, and it seems like he was waiting for Joe to let people know. Joe Madden is from Shea Pepler-Cornett on Twitter. She's, of course, Fox 32. Joe Madden says he will only use closer Craig Kimbrell in the ninth inning early on. Three outs, that's it. Kimbrell is available for today's game against the Braves. And we've talked about how Joe has kind of set the bullpen up a little bit more traditionally over the last two, 3 years, maybe really when Aroldis Chapman was traded for in 16. It's been a little bit more of a traditional bullpen setup. I don't necessarily mind that, but that does, it would seem, limit the ability of that bullpen if Kimbrell is, you know, just going to be set for three outs and that's it.
What if your most important out is in the sixth?
Then that's going to be Pedro Strop, it looks like. Then that's going to, I wonder how aggressive he's willing to be with some of the matchups. He's certainly allowed to be more aggressive now with Kimbrell available for three outs toward the end, but can he be? Is he? And are guys pitching well enough to let him be? I find that fascinating. It'll be interesting to see how the Cubs were able to deal or handle or integrate Kimbrell into that bullpen.
Email reaction from Rudy. He says, I like Jed. I was waiting for the tired excuse of, quote, we played X amount of days and X amount of games. He didn't lean on it like some do, because it annoys the hell out of me when people do. It's a baseball season. Everyone plays 162. So that part I liked. I think the team will be fine. They're going to hit and score eventually, maybe. It's baseball. I don't know. Glad it's not my job to figure this team out. And people pointed out that when we were asking about this infuriating tendency. And it's not a tendency. It's an infuriating characteristic.
Of this team.
Of this team.
Since 15.
To not hit in important situations. To not call them what they call them, clutch situations. Call them what you will. Use whatever term you want. They're not good at it. And he said, I wish I had a dollar for every hour I spend. You do.
Yes.
That's literally what your dollars are for.
They pay you for that.
And that's why I followed up on it. That's why I want to know, like, what are you thinking about it? He said, what are the individual hitters doing in those situations that now can be measured? That now we can look at swing path. Now you can look at how their bodies might be changing and how their approaches to certain pitches, little tiny things that their hands are doing, that their head is doing, that the front side is doing, that now if you, it is possible to actually diagnose some of this stuff.
See, the problem I have with the roster as it looks right now, with this team as it exists right now.
Too many of the players are bad.
Well, you know, you got that going on. But I still think they're good enough to be the best team in the NL Central. I do think that they'll win this unless, you know, there's a whole spate of injuries or something like that. But it's always been said that get into the playoffs and then it's, you know, just spin the wheel and see what happens. Do you feel like the wheel looks the same as it used to when you look at the Dodgers?
No, because the Dodgers and the Astros are doing it better.
I don't either. I don't think the wheel looks the same as it used to with the Dodgers there. Can you beat? Yeah, of course you could.
The math probably says it's the same, right?
I don't know.
No matter what it looks like?
I don't know. I mean, even if the roulette wheel just, even if they take one space out and put it on the Dodgers instead. Like if double zero is no longer that green crazy odds number and that's the Dodgers now, if they get all the red spaces and the double zero, then it's just, it feels like it's much more slanted toward the, sure, weird things can happen the rest of the season. If you took those two teams right now and matched them up, Dodgers have, I mean, they're just such a different ball club and you got to get by those guys. That's where your path is going to end up. Certainly, baseball can happen in the playoffs as it has for years and years and years and years, but it feels different right now.
Yeah,
and
they
it
keep finding guys, too. They keep having walk-off home runs from rookies. You're like,
Beatty or somebody.
It's Ned Beatty.
Are you sure?
No,
are you sure?
They probably got him in the lab.
Challenge. I bet it's Ned Beatty.
I think he's dead.
I think this guy here. Well, he's hitting dingers opposite field at Dodger Stadium at night. So he's got a hell of a swing for a dead man.
I think he has shed his mortal. Nope, he's alive. Sorry, Ned.
So he could be knocking dingers for the Dodgers.
It is possible that at age 81, that Ned Beatty is that guy. But no, it was a guy named Beatty or Beatty, right?
Yeah.
Because they create people now.
They do.
They're finding alien beings,
throw
putting Dodgers uniforms on them, but they are doing it better.
It's like cocoon.
They're doing it all. Not raccoon.
No, cocoon.
I'm surprised you don't pronounce that cocoon because you can get that one wrong.
No, I watched the movie. I listened to Wilford Brimley all throughout. Gutenberg, actually pretty decent in that film, and he could probably hit dingers for the Dodgers right now.
As long as he goes down and buys a car and gets a free Bible. 312-644-6767 is our phone number as we gauge your reaction to a pretty comprehensive state of the team interview there from Jed Hoyer, talking about what this stretch means, and they don't want to overreact to it, but it's clear that they're watching the same games and they're not going to ignore it.
Still sounds like Kyle Hendricks is a little ways away. He mentioned there's going to be another bullpen for him over the weekend. Bruce Levine of 670 The Score reported that it's going to be Saturday, the next bullpen for Kyle Hendricks. Still no timeline for him yet, and they, I mean, listening to Jed, it sounds like they're going to be as cautious as they can possibly be with Hendricks. I mean, that's how I felt about it. I don't know how you felt about it. I mean, that's just pure caution.
I think this is also a situation where you're, just like they said with Kimbrel, where you're trusting him more than anything else. You can do all the diagnostics in the world that he's going to know when it feels right or it doesn't feel right, and then you're going to say, you know, you let us know when.
Meanwhile, did you catch, I found the answer he gave to the Quintana question I asked about pitch mix fairly interesting. He said, yeah, we just had the pitching meeting like yesterday, and we're going through some of those things. And whether there's, you know, a little bit of a downturn in Q's overall velocity, which there has been over the last 2 months or so, and if that necessitates a little bit of a different mix, if he's got to throw that sinker less and change up more, if he can still find the variance between the fastball and the change, Q has some, according to Jed, some pretty serious work to do in order to get him back. And still, it seems, again, they rely on that guy. They trust that guy who's been there before to get himself back to where he needs to be. That's as old school as it gets in a starting rotation.
I think it would be worthwhile to examine some spin rate issues, because when we use those terms like the finish on his fastball, he said that. And Madden has said that late life, or that extra finish that gets it there a little bit sooner than it otherwise would as far as the margin for error. It's possible that they have this already sort of figured out. It's just a matter of how you get it back. As we know, you can't get spin back unless you're using pine tar or some grip strengthener on the ball. You cannot add spin.
Yeah, grip is probably the biggest indicator there. And yeah, I don't know how you get that back in, like you say, without doing something that Trevor Bauer has accused the Astros of doing, the extra substance here or there.
In 2019, his four-seam spin rate is 1996. In 2018, his four-seam spin rate was 2019. So he has lost some spin. In 2019, his sinker's spin rate is 1964. In 2018, the sinker's spin rate was 1980, so not a significant dip there. And the curve has a higher spin rate this year, but he has lost some on the four-seam fastball.
It just doesn't seem that they are preparing for anything drastic at this point, nor really should they be. They've got a lead in the NL Central. It's just these are, like Jed said, what year is it? You know, it feels like these are the same issues that they've gone through each of the last three seasons, and especially the last 40 or so games of last year that stood out so starkly. They didn't score runs. They haven't had hits when they've needed them with ducks on the pond. That's been an issue for them. Jed Hoyer brought it up with us this morning. Glad you were able to take a listen to it. Lawrence Holmes is coming up with Transition in just a few. We will close things out in the Bernstein McKnight Show when we come back. 670 The Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks to our guests today, Len Casper and Jed Hoyer. Thanks to Brian Gertz, who had the video feed. Thanks to the producers, Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz. Brian Gertz, I mentioned. Joe Ostrowski had the updates. Tomorrow, Jonah Carey. It means it's already Friday.
Wow.
Jonah Carey and more things. Lawrence Holmes is coming your way next. We've got a whole bunch to talk about with him, so don't go anywhere. Transition straight ahead on The Score.
What a day.
Got a lot of information on the Cubs today. First from Len and then from Jed, who sounds as frustrated as anybody else. He's watching the same games we are watching. And leading up to the upcoming game today will be this man, Lawrence Holmes.
It was one of the things that I spent a lot of time talking with Joe Maddon about yesterday was approach with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. And that's been one of the Cubs' biggest problems. And I was glad to hear Jed talk a little bit about it. And it's so funny because I was kind of running around this morning. I was over at stadium, and then I came in here and actually, you know, went to the gym, which is our deal here is the greatest deal ever. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a whole bunch of Kimbrel. And it was a whole bunch of what's wrong with this offense. And so it was appreciative because last night in my timeline while watching the Cubs game, that's what people were trying to figure out after they got through the Yu Darvish anger. You know, and it's not even anger. It's frustration. Someone hit me up, and I thought it was a great comp. Think about this comp not as far as the guy, but the expectation. Darvish Cutler, where you see Cutler make a throw and you go, oh my God, people can make throws like that. And then the next play, a interception to a defensive tackle. Same thing with Darvish, where last night you have him getting pounded and then he strikes out the side with Nintendo stuff. And you're going, how is this the same guy?
That's not bad.
It's a really good thing.
That's not bad. Obviously, the connection with the fan is different for a lot of reasons in the way that Darvish has offered so much more of himself and been honest about how he feels. The responsibility that he feels to the fans and his teammates is a far cry from, I don't care. So I do think it's easier to sort of empathize with Darvish than it is with Cutler.
Dan, I think that Cubs fans, for the most part, are really pulling for Darvish, and not just because it helps the Cubs. I think that there is a recognition that this is a sensitive dude. He's obviously hasn't been able to kind of connect all of his great talent. He wants to win. You know, he had put out that tweet with the W hat before the game saying, man, I really want one of these. So I do think that there is a level of empathy that Cubs fans can have for Darvish. And it leads to some of the frustration because you want him to do so well. And you're like, come on, man. Like, throw that thing that you throw when you strike people out. Why don't you do that more?
Don't put that fastball there, not over the center of the plate. That's not where it's supposed to be. I've stopped getting frustrated with Darvish only because I've accepted the sliding scale of expectations.
So you have done what I'm trying to do with Jim Boylan.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
You where just I need to find a centered place of serenity and understanding of what I can and can't change.
You just need to give in. That's what you have to do. You have to accept that there is a higher power or something like that. My frustration comes from the little things around the edges, because if you're not hitting all that well and you've got Darvish on the mound, you can't afford defensive lapses. You can't afford a breaking ball that gets through your legs. Granted, it's ruled a wild pitch, but you're a former catcher. Dan, you raised a catcher. I mean, you usually catchers drop
down.
You have to stop the baseball when it doesn't bounce in front of you, and it didn't, and he didn't, and it gets by, and that's one. Granted, that's one run, but those things matter over the long term, and it's frustrating to see those kind of things go by the wayside with a team that is as close to the rest of its division, despite everybody else in that division playing badly.
It's a kind of amazing that they are still where they are when it comes to the division. But it helps that the rest of the Central hasn't quite found itself either, where no one has really stepped out and said, we're the good team in this division. Everyone's been like, we're all kind of good.
I think the Cubs are the best division. Team in that division.
I do, too.
And I don't think it's – I think it's – I don't think it's as close as I thought it would be when the season started. I think Cubs are better than both the Brewers and the Cardinals.
I don't know. Connor, I kind of thought that it would be – I thought that the baseball itself would be better, but I thought that the Brewers and Cardinals would be right there with the Cubs for most of the season.
I did too. I just looking at individual performances, looking at – we were looking at Goldschmidt's slash line.
I was just going to call it up and play the game.
He's been bad.
He's average. He's a 103 WRC plus.
Meanwhile, the rest of the first basemen in the league are doing just fine.
That's a thing.
Big bad Josh Bell is out here just tearing the cover off the ball.
Jose Abreu.
He's fantastic. Hits the homer yesterday. I mean, I just
big
I
sluggers are big slugging.
Those teams, though, the Cardinals and the Brewers have bigger issues than the Cubs have.
Agreed.
That's just a fact.
And one of those issues for the Cubs is hopefully cleared up today. With Craig Kimbrel being ready, and he's going to be sent out there. But one of the things I kept cautioning folks about last night, he's not hitting.
Nope.
You know, like, you can have Craig Kimbrel and you can feel good about where you are when it's late games or high leverage situations, but the boys have still got to hit. And when it comes to runners in scoring position, they've got to be better at putting the ball in play. And that's right now one of the biggest problems with them as a team.
It's not something that can get fixed overnight. It's just it's consistency of approach and concentration and the guys in the lab maybe giving you a couple of suggestions from what they see that you can't see, whether it's against a certain pitcher or something that you may be doing that you don't think you're doing. So it takes a village to fix these things.
No, there's no doubt. And there's still, a half a season left to play,
yep,
too. And I expect that they will be better. And now, having a clearer look at the Brewers, like I thought that they would be better, and they're not.
No.
This division is right there for the Cubs to not just win but run away with if they play their best ball. And that's where I think you're right, Connor. If the Cubs play their best ball and the Brewers play their best ball this year, give me the Cubs.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think that they're a deeper team. But we need to see it more consistently.
Yeah, your get-out-of-jail card, if you're the Brewers, is Christian Yelich has to hit two homers that night, and Josh Hader has to be perfect.
Lights out.
Five outs.
Yep.
That's a worse card than the Cubs get to play. The Cubs have four hitters with OPS plus and weighted run grade plus well over 100. They have more functional parts. They have more get-out-of-jail-free cards than the Brewers do.
You see what's going on out here? There's all sorts of excitable young people taking their pictures with, is it Alessia Cara?
Yeah, Alicia, I think it's Alicia Cara.
Alicia Cara?
Yeah.
Who's opening for Sean Mendez tonight?
She's here, and she's taking pictures with folks. She seems very nice. I walked past her in the hallway, and it's so weird for us. Like, we didn't really get this in our little hole that we have in the back, where now we get to see all the things that we don't have, you know? Like,
they're nice.
They're just walking nice stars things here. There was some K-pop group that was here a few weeks ago. They couldn't have been nicer. And they're their own security squad, and they're walking around here.
We should see if she wants to do Score Leftovers.
We should see. That'll end quickly.
I'm sure that'll go over really well.
But we had Alice Merton in Score Leftovers.
It was an inadvertent
cameo for hard rocker Alice Merton.
That's
but
true.
She did appear in Score Leftovers, let the record show.
I think that would be a good. Go ahead and try it. I'm trying to convince Kinsey from B96. Like, she's always walking past here when I'm doing the show. I'm like, just pop in. I mean, you know, they can hear you say hello, and then you can go back and do your show.
Yeah, cross-pollination's a good thing when we have all these resources. Like Ed Lover, for example, from WBMX.
That was so much fun.
The big Knicks fan, and anytime there's something involving New York sports, the sound of that Hollis Queens accent
is so great.
Talking Knicks basketball is just good for the soul.
And I mean, while we're at it, let's get Terry Himmer down here to talk some Cubs. She wants to talk some Cubs, for sure. Knows the history of the game, for God's sakes. That's the GOAT right there. The goddess, I love me some Terry Himmer. Boys, have a wonderful afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.